Miami had Don Johnson, San Francisco Steve McQueen and Clint Eastwood. Chicago had Robert Stack and Kevin Costner. But when it comes to cops on screen, New York has had more movies made about its force than any other city. Now those movies are the subject of a film festival in New York. David Darcy reports.
Name a Hollywood star since 1960, and chances are that he or even she played a New York City cop.
Who hasn't played a New York City cop? Because in this series we've got Ernest Borgnine, Dana Andrews, Kirk Douglas.
Bruce Goldstein programmed the series NYPD at Film Forum in Manhattan. His list includes the game show host Jan Murray, Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel, Nick Nolte, Denzel Washington, even Melanie Griffith as a detective undercover as a Hasidic Jew in A Stranger Among Us.
Well, if they can get to one of you, then they can get to all of you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So, we are in danger.
Every single one of you. This murder, it reeks inside job.
In the early decades of crime melodramas, film stars played mostly crooks or newspaper men who solved crimes. Sonny Grasso was a retired detective, one of two men who inspired the film The French Connection, in which Roy Scheider played him. Back in 1954, when Grasso started walking a beat in East Harlem, his generation's movie heroes were not cops.
The cops were, you know, like buffoons smoking cigars, and the heroes were Cagney and Bogart and Edward G. Robinson. In those days, the cops were really a non-entity, and your real heroes were all the gangsters.
Cop characters in movies got respectable once the likes of Kirk Douglas and Frank Sinatra were cast as cop heroes, and television followed suit. Sort of.
Francis, if you really want to study police methods, do what I do. Watch television. How can you, yourself a policeman, still believe in those cops and robbers on television? Oh, I don't believe in the cops, just the robbers.
Car 54, Where Are You? Is part of a recent book, King of the Half Hour, about the sitcom's creator, Nat Hiken. The book's author, David Everett, says police brass hated it and even tried to get it off the air. Patrolmen loved it.
Even though the characters are very foolish, they actually welcomed the fact that here was a cop show in which they weren't too perfect, too hard-nosed. It was something they could relate to, and they were actually very good-natured characters.
Film Forum wanted to show Car 54 in its series, but could not get the rights. In less than 10 years, the boilerplate depiction of New York City cops went from perfect and hard-nosed to hard-edged and overworked. In 1971, The French Connection was released, and historians say it inaugurated the golden age of police screen dramas, which began to show how police really operate. Directors, including The French Connection's William Friedkin, began hiring cops like Sonny Grasso to coach actors like Roy Scheider and Gene Hackman.
They came out with us for 3 weeks. They went into the bars with us. I think that's why those scenes were so real, because the first week we went into the bars, they stood outside. The second week, we went into the bars with them. The third week, they went into the bars, and we went in with them, and they did everything. So they really understood what was going on. It was very difficult for Gene and for Roy to talk to people and to say the things that you have to say to people to let them know that you're the boss. And especially if you come from a liberal background where you want to be intelligently conversational, it don't work sometimes when you're walking into a bar full of dope pushers.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall. Come on, move. Move.
You couldn't even see a Sergeant Friday movie today. It couldn't hold up. You couldn't see some of the movies you saw years ago. They just wouldn't measure up today. And it has nothing to do with technique. It has more to do with style. And I think The French Connection had a style that's been copied over and over and over again for the last 30 years.
The NYPD's screen world got even grimier by 1974 in the taking of Pelham 123. Transit cop Walter Matthau fights a gang that hijacks a subway train.
Well, I never thought I'd see the day when talking to murderers took priority over running a railroad.
Get out of it, will you, Frank? My only priority is saving the lives of these passengers.
Screw the passengers. What the hell they expect for that lousy 35 cents to live forever?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
By the early 1980s, police were depicted as an occupying army. The quirky Bronx neighborhood of Car 54 was now the burnt-out setting of Fort Apache, the Bronx, where people camped at the police station for protection, and the outgoing commander had given up.
I mean, this is Siberia, Conley. 65% of the men up here have been transferred. We got the Knives, the Slobs, the Shirkers. Guys who beat up the wrong guinea, who gave a diplomat a parking ticket, screwed a big mouth hooker, or shook down the wrong peddler.
There are plenty of good police officers in your command. You're the one who's fallen down on the job.
The film was picketed in New York, and Hollywood was shamed away from stereotyping the poor as criminals. So its focus shifted again, and the cops became the crooks. There's some truth there, says James Lardner, a former police officer and co-author of NYPD, The City and Its Police. He says the real aftermath of The French Connection became an ongoing story for the NYPD and Hollywood.
The French Connection is a movie about the heroin trade that makes no mention of corruption. And it turned out, we saw in a movie, Prince of the City, a little more than a decade later, that there was rampant corruption in the very police unit that had grown out of the detectives who worked on the French Connection case.
One director, Sidney Lumet, built a career on films about police corruption. In Serpico, Al Pacino is one honest cop fighting a crooked department.
This is only the beginning. This could be the biggest thing since the Harry Gross case.
And meanwhile, where am I? I'm out there alone. Who gives a f*** about that? You know that I'm totally isolated in the department. I don't have a friend.
Oh, don't give me that bullshit about friends. I've been putting cops away for 30 years. My name's an obscenity in every house wall and every precinct in the city.
I've observed that.
Almost 20 years after Serpico, Copland was set in a New Jersey town controlled by corrupt New York policemen. Sylvester Stallone played the heroic town constable. It's a formula that continues to work, as film programmer Bruce Goldstein learned when he was summoned to jury duty recently in Manhattan.
And they asked me, have you had anything to do with the police? And I said, well, I'm putting together a series on the New York City Police Department for a theater I program. And they say, well, what did you find out about the police from doing this series, in doing the research for this series? I said, well, it's only the movies, but according to the movies, all New York City police are corrupt. I was disqualified from the case, and by the way, I don't believe that.
The NYPD film series at Film Forum finishes its run with a week's showing of a new print of The French Connection in early October. Next month, Sidney Lumet, the director of Serpico and The Prince of the City, premieres his new television series, 100 Center Street, named for the historic location of New York police headquarters for more than half the 20th century. Today, it's a luxury condominium. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.